from all dust. Doors lining both sides opened onto sparsely furnished offices. A long list of warnings and regulations was posted on a double pair of swing doors at the end of the corridor. Most were linked to the importance of keeping all germs at bay by wearing the right clinical uniforms.
Not worth it. If any freezies leave with us, we'll be taking them into the Deathlands. A few specks of dirt before then won't likely make a lot of difference.
There was yet another sign above yet another set of doors.
Non-corporeal section?
What the dark night does that mean?
Without a body, Mr. Dix. A section for people who no longer have a body. A peculiar concept, I must admit.
Just arms and legs.
Or heads.
Fuck.
It was heads. They walked into a huge control room, at least 8,000 square feet, that was packed with all kinds of sophisticated monitors. It made the control consoles for the gateways look like kiddie toys. But it wasn't the banks of comp displays and flickering monitors that caught the eye first. It was what lay behind them, ranged along the back wall, each in its own plexiglass capsule. Heads. At a rough count, Ryan figured on close to 100. White, black, brown, and yellow, and all the shades in between. All had been severed with a surgical neatness across the center of the throat, the lower section submerged in a viscous liquid. Wires and tubes trailed from each neck into a box of light green plastic, which in turn was connected to its own individual control console. Ryan assumed that the consoles would all be linked to the master boards. There were old heads with strands of hair pasted thinly across leathery scalps, young faces with teeth that gleamed in secret wolfish grins, men with clipped military mustaches, women whose hair was bound up in thin nets to keep it from the preserving liquids.
Gaia, damn it. This has to be the ultimate nightmare.
They dead?
Depends on what you mean by dead, Jack.
Ryan was so disappointed that he could almost taste it. This wasn't what he'd imagined and hoped for.
I knew of this kind of experimentation. To freeze the entire body wasn't proving that successful. We saw an example of the failure rate last time. Microsurgery meant they could always graft a live neck back onto any convenient corpse.
You joking me, Doc? Old head on a new body?
Indeed, yes. Easier, I think. The head and brain are kept wired and nourished. My guess is that the capsules are filled with liquid nitrogen or some such.
Shit. Sick fuckers. Ugh.
Jack went to sit in a polished swivel chair at the main desk. None of the others took any notice of him as they walked along the rows of severed skulls. Each head bore a coded reference, a string of numbers and letters. Ryan wondered who they were. From what Rick had told them about freezies, they must have all been special. The U.S. government had frozen only people of ultra importance, and most of them had been scientists, military scientists, who had contracted some terminal illness and had been deep frozen, like so many sides of mutton, to await the New Jerusalem, the Age of Enlightenment, when their diseases could be cured by medical advances. What nobody could have forecast was Deathlands, a world of brutality, where medicine was at roughly the same level as it had been in the early part of the 19th century. These frozen semi-corpses didn't have much chance of being successfully revived. Several of the suspended heads clearly showed signs of illness, and many were emaciated with dark shadows of pain smeared around the sunken eyes. Ryan spotted one or two that still bore scars of operations, the skin seamed and sutured. He was aware of Christy standing at his side.
Poor bastards. Think there's some sort of life there?
You mean, can they see and hear?
I mean, are they sentient, Ryan? Do they know what they are? Do they sense time passing?
Doc joined them, in front of the head of a middle-aged white man. The pupils, just visible behind slitted eyes.
What is time, young lady? It is a series of moments of reality strung uneasily together to give an illusion of continuity. These, I came close to calling them people, do not feel that. There is neither day nor night for them. Both sweet things. Life is endless. Nothing. Who would wish to die? They would wish to die, my friends.
Oh, fuck.
Everybody looked at Jack.
What? Don't fucking look at me. Didn't mean to press button.
Which button?
Ryan walked quickly to where the albino boy sat looking at the dancing display in front of him, hands flat on the desktop.
Big one. Blood one.
There was only one large red control on the console, which was set in its own clear plastic box with a flip-top lid to it. In embossed silver letters, it carried the message, Speed Thaw. Max Caution. Emergency Override Only. Do Not Activate.
You press that red button, Jack?
Obviously, Ryan.
Can it, JB?
Yeah, didn't read. Can we stop it?
JB, peering owlishly over Ryan's shoulder, shook his head.
Doesn't look like it. Seems them heads are gonna start warming up real soon.
The boy was always a hothead.
Doc nudged Christy in the ribs with a bony elbow.
Do you comprehend my jest, young lady?
Yeah, Doc.
Christy turned her concern to the nearest row of wired skulls.
A joke, you see. Hot heads. The heads will soon become warm now that the manual defreeze switch has been activated. Hot heads, you see?
Starting.
I'm sorry, Ryan. Fucking triple stoop.
Ryan patted Jack on the shoulder.
I don't figure that we'd have done much with nearly 100 heads. You did him a favor by pulling the plug like that. He didn't have a hope of a future.
Nor do I.
Gaia. You want a double bad sight? I got one over here.
Ryan, Jack, and JB joined the Titian-haired beauty, standing horror-struck in front of the small capsules, watching the result of Jack's fibbling with the control.
Madness. Fucking madness.
There wasn't a thing that they could do, other than just stand and watch the beginning of the end. The conclusion of a doomed fantasy that had begun a century ago. Some of the containers were misted over with condensation, as the coolant strained away and the temperatures began to climb. Ryan glanced along the row, stone-faced, at the variety of the circus horrors. Some heads were vibrating with the demonic life, eyes opening and closing, lips parting, and soft pink tongues protruding. A thick, colorless slime oozed from the staring eyes of a skull near Ryan. An elderly white woman next along clamped her jaws together with such power that her teeth were splintering into jagged, powdery stumps. There had been some kind of electrical short in one of the microcircuits of a middle-aged Hispanic man. His hair was standing on end, beginning to smolder. His skin blackened and burned, smoke coming from the depths of the mutely gabbling mouth.
No point staying here.
Might as well leave the whole place. But get moving and we'll be back through the forest and into the redoubt again before dark. I could use another hot clean shower right now.
Gets my vote, lover. Looks like this whole place could go through its own roof.
There was the acrid stink of overloaded wiring, and the air was beginning to get heavy and thick with smoke. Sparks flew out of several of the capsules, and at least a half dozen had already cracked open with the heat. Over everything else, Ryan could almost taste the too familiar stench of roasting flesh.
Barbecue time down on the old Panhandle Ranch.
There's another door that way.
Christy pointed.
Might as well try it.
Go ahead. Jack, take Doc. JB, you get going. I'll cover the rear.
Though there was no overt threat, it was automatic with Ryan that anything they did should be done as efficiently as possible. The trader used to say,
get it right when it don't matter, and you'll get it right when it does.
More containers exploded as the manual override continued its destructive work. As the plastic melted, some of the heads were actually tearing loose from the wiring. It was like being in the middle of an exploding charnel house. As Ryan brought up the back of the group, he had to dodge and step over several rolling, smoldering skulls, hair alight, eyes melting in long dead sockets, teeth clacking in frenzied paroxysms of what might have been rage and disappointment. Once they were through the next set of double doors, the air was immediately cool and clean again. Another short stretch of sterile corridor ended in yet another pair of half-glass doors. To the left was a sign with a red arrow and the single word exit.
That way?
Ryan looked at the doors ahead, leading to yet another part of the cryo complex. As far as they knew, there was only one other such institution in the whole of the Deathlands, and that was a good 1,500 miles away, near the Grandee River.
Warning to all cryo personnel. There is no cause for alarm, but sensodetectors indicate the possibility of fire. Do not panic. Go to the nearest evac point and await orders. Repeat, do not panic.
Better get out. Whole place could go up.
Ryan shook his head.
Not yet. Place like this is in sealed units. Have sprinklers and all kinds of safety shit.
Warning, all there is for alarm. The possibility of fire. Panic. Go to the nearest evac point and await orders. Repeat, panic.
The thing's breaking up, Ryan.
I still want to... Let's just take one look through those next doors. Nothing there and we'll get out.
Warning, there is fire. Panic. Go, panic.
There was a moment of hesitation, broken by Ryan, who strode quickly toward the next doors. But Jack was faster, reaching them just ahead of him, the others at their heels.
Warning, fire. Panic. Repeat, panic.
Come on.
They hurried through the first doors and then past the second set, the boy in the lead. Doc stumbled and nearly fell, but JB hauled him quickly to his feet. They came to a large lounge with padded seats and framed unexceptional landscapes on the walls. There was only one door to it, and Jack ran ahead, pausing in the doorway. He looked back at the others with a grin.
Heads?
Yeah, but this time got bodies with him.
My love is like a goblet of purest crystal, studded with rich jewels, chalcedony and onyx, amethyst and fiery opal. There are times that this goblet brims over with the richness of our love for each other. And now it is shattered into a million